This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Vernon Jordan, Washington lawyer and power broker, grew up hearing the sermons of a young Atlanta minister named Martin Luther King Jr. Just out of law school, Jordan was field director for the Georgia NAACP when Medgar Evers led the organization in Mississippi. Jordan would later run the National Urban League. He says the title of his new memoir, Vernon Can Read, springs from an encounter he had in the summer of 1955. He was back home in the segregated South in Atlanta after his sophomore year of college.
My mother got me a job working for Robert F. Maddox, a retired banker, a member of the Southern aristocracy. He was born in it, lived in it, represented it. And my job was to drive him to work, not really work, but he would stay downtown 10 minutes, an hour. You never know when he was coming. In addition to being chauffeur, I was also the butler. So we'd get home at 1 o'clock, sometimes 12:30. And I had nothing to do from then until 6:15 when I was to become the butler and serve dinner. One afternoon, I was busy reading, and Mr. Maddox, unable to complete his afternoon nap, wandered about the house in his underwear with a bottle of Southern Comfort in one hand and a glass in the other. And he walks into the library, and he says to me, "Vernon, what are you doing in my library?" And I said, "I'm reading, Mr. Maddox." He said, "I've never had a nigger work for me who could read." And I said, "But I can read, Mr. Maddox, because I'm colleged." And he said, "You go to those colored schools over there?" I said, "No. I go to DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana." "White children go to that school?" "Yes, sir." "White girls go to that school?" "Yes, sir." "You're going to be a teacher or a preacher?" I said, "I'm going to be a lawyer, Mr. Maddox." "Niggers aren't supposed to be lawyers," he said. I said, "I'm going to be a lawyer." He said, "Don't you know I have a place downstairs for the niggas to read?" I said, "Yes, but you have in this library Browning and Shakespeare, and you don't want these wonderful books downstairs in that dusty place." And so, with a sigh of resignation, he said, "Just read then." 6:15, I'm serving dinner to his daughter and her husband, to his son and his wife. And I'm dressed in my white jacket and bow tie and white shirt, towel over my left arm, and I'm serving very delicious vichyssoise. And as I'm serving him the vichyssoise, he says, "I have an announcement to make." They all lean forward. "Yes, Papa, Vernon can read."
That wasn't the job you were supposed to have that summer. You were supposed to intern at an insurance company.
Yes, I was supposed to intern for the Continental Insurance Company, and I showed up in my best shirt and tie and suit, shine shoes, and told the receptionist that I was Vernon Jordan from DePaul University and I was a summer intern. And startled, she responded in a way that I don't want to respond on this program, and called the man in charge of summer interns, who called me into his office and said, "They did not tell us." And knowing what he meant, I said, "They did not tell you what?" And he said, "It did not tell us that you were colored." That was before we became Negroes or Negroes or black people.
You were doing better back at DePaul waiting on Richard Nixon. I can't believe that photograph.
I was the head waiter at Longdon Hall during my time at DePaul, capitalizing on the experiences I had in the food service business with my mother's catering service. And when Richard Nixon, then Vice President of the United States, came to our campus, there was a big luncheon in Bowman Gymnasium, and Mrs. DePonte, who was in charge of food service, asked me and the head waiter at Mason Hall, Pat Sharp, if we would serve the head table.
And you took that photograph back to him years later.
When I became head of the Urban League in 1971, I had a call from the White House to come see the president, who wanted to meet Whitney Young's successor. And after being greeted by the president, I said, "Mr. President, I brought you a present." opened my briefcase, and I showed him this photograph, and he said, "Where was this taken?" I reminded him that it was DePaul University, and he had come to dedicate the library. And I said to him, I said, "Mr. President, this photograph was taken at a time when both of us were on our way up." He got a great kick out of it, and it was a nice moment.
He told you if you needed anything to see John Ehrlichman, so you...
He did do that.
Started playing tennis with John Ehrlichman.
I started playing tennis with John Ehrlichman, not to the liking of at least one colleague in Urban League.
Got some flack for that.
I did. I got on the elevator one morning. This young guy said to me, he said, "Mr. Jordan, you can't be my leader playing tennis on the White House tennis court with John Ehrlichman." And as he stood there in his huge afro and dashiki and loafers, I looked at him and I said, "Which federal program are you on?" And he said, "I'm on the Labor Education Advancement Program." And I said, "How much do you make?" And he told me, and I said to him, "I'm playing tennis with John Ehrlichman so you can be a $20,000 militant." After Ronald Reagan cut that program, had to let a bunch of people go, and he was one of them. And he came to see me. I sat down in my office, and I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "You know I've been laid off." I said, "Yes." He said, "I'd just like to ask you one question." I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you get a tennis game at the White House?"
That's the way this story goes, the story of your life, is heartbreak and triumph, and heartbreak again and triumph.
Well, I'm not sure it's heartbreak. I would describe it as sort of a continuum of ups and downs, but always ups and downs going up. But that's what life is.
But you have been shot.
I have, as a matter of fact.
Now, you weren't not his original target.
As I understand the script, he had gone to Chicago looking for Jesse Jackson. Fort Wayne is not far from that. He'd heard on the radio or somehow that I was speaking at Fort Wayne, and so that was his next stop, unfortunately. But here I am.
You end the book in the 80s.
Yes.
Why?
Simply because I don't, number one, believe in instant history. What I've written about in Vernon Can Read is a time that I've had to reflect and think and muse over in ways that I was ready to put it down, and I did. Secondly, this sort of is from childhood to the end of my time as a civil rights leader, when I switched and became a lawyer in a big law firm. I'm still living that part of my life. This book is also about something else. It's about my children and my grandchildren having an understanding of what growing up in Atlanta in the South was for Pop Pop. And hopefully I'll have an opportunity to do the next part.
Vernon Jordan, Washington lawyer, corporate board member, and close confidant of former President Clinton. Their friendship made headlines in 1998 after Jordan helped arrange a private sector job offer for former White House intern Monica Lewinsky. Jordan's new book is titled Vernon Can Read, a Memoir. ¶¶